Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. Welcome back. It's a brand new season. I am your host, Shane Lees, and joining me tonight, we have got Nick Davey back.
Hello, good evening.
And a brand new guest, Harry Philby. And I've got to say, this is the first time we've ever had this. This is an all South Coast podcast.
Yeah, that's true. And we just got you in the Carabao Cup, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. So, Harry is a Brighton fan, Nick's a Brighton fan, I'm a Southampton fan. Don't worry if you're a big club supporter. We will talk about your clubs probably more than anything, and we'll actually be objective. So, there you go. No mental Arsenal fans.
Yeah, but we're... The fans are going to switch off now.
All right, we've got some news to start off with. One of the things I'll start off with is England are up to sixth place in the world rankings. Now, a lot of the criticism about England mainly came from overseas and by and large from Scottish fans. But do you think there's something to be said for we only played easy teams, we are not the sixth best team in the world?
I mean, we did have a really easy run in. I think it's quite easy to point at that if you're talking about the World Cup on its own. But so did Portugal in the Euros. They deserve to be up there. So like, if you look at the teams below us, like we're now three places above Spain, which is ridiculous if you're talking about squad. But in terms of performance, I think we did well enough in the World Cup to justify going up. It's just whether or not sixth is truly fair.
I quite agree, yeah. It's a tough one. I mean, obviously, we could be talking about how good the World Cup was. But yeah, then theoretically, yeah, when we did play the good teams, we lost to them, Belgium, Croatia. Well, that's it. I was about to say Belgium again, but there's that argument. But no, I think it's a fair reflection. I think as you said, as Harry said there, Portugal getting to the final, well, winning Euro 2016, I think it's fair. And to be fair, we've always been very solid in the friendlies, haven't we? I can't remember the last. We haven't lost a qualifier since, is it 2009 or something ridiculous? Against Ukraine. I know qualifiers, we never get anyone great in the groups as well, and we usually draw against the ones who are quite good. I think it's a fair reflection.
We'll do a little bit more news. One of the big pieces of news that's happened in the last week is Celtic have gone out of the Champions League. They're back down into the Europa League qualifiers now. They got knocked out by AEK Athens. The one thing that makes me wonder is, does this mean Celtic are officially a bad team? And what I mean by that is, Celtic have always historically been quite a big team. Even playing in the Scottish League, they've been accepted as a big team. But at this stage, surely now we've got to say they're down there with like the Azerbaijani teams and all of that lot, you know, the ones who barely ever qualify for Champions League. Or are they better than that?
It's a really difficult one with Celtic, because even when they went unbeaten, like a couple of years ago, and they're obviously set up to win the treble. Like, that's looking like it probably will happen this season, because I don't think Rangers will bounce back as quick as people think they are with Gerrard. But like, it's a question of how good do they have to be in the league and ignoring Europe for people to take them seriously. And going unbeaten, even then, people still, like you say, they are in the grand scheme of things, just not a serious team that people pay attention to outside of Scotland. And I guess you're probably right that, even a club like Galatasaray, are they even like up there? Like, do you think they have, how have Galatasaray done in the Champions League in the last few years?
Well, Galatasaray have done quite poorly in the league in recent years.
Yeah, exactly. And yet I would probably still see them as more likely to progress in the Champions League than Celtic are. And that's pretty obvious that's the case this year. So it's hard to say, really, but I mean, Rodgers has got to try and prove a point in the Champions League, hasn't he? And he's pretty much failed to do that. So I don't know. You're probably right, I think, that...
I think it says a lot about the club that he went unbeaten last season and now they're saying the pressure's on.
Yeah.
And I think that defines how the board, how the fans are feeling. The league doesn't really matter. They never wrap that one up every single time. It's the European competition where they can really prove if they're actually any kind of good. I mean, you can be a team in Hungary. What's the team in Hungary? Is it Ferencváros? You win it pretty much every single year, but nobody pays any attention because they never do anything in Europe. I think the only reason we care about Celtic in England is because obviously they're quite close to us. Yeah. Literally. Otherwise, we'd have given them probably the same exact regard as we give to like Partizan Belgrade. Yeah, former Champions League winners, but no one really cares about them, do they?
And I think... especially in England, actually, the only reason I ever look at Celtic is because a lot of their players tend to go on to be absolute worldies in the Prem. Like Van Dijk is the most recent one. And that's pretty much the only reason I watch them, because I'm sure as hell not going to watch the Scottish Premier League. Because it's just not interesting to me at all in any way. Like, it's like worse than France in terms of it being like a one horse race every single year. And hopefully Rangers do really well and get right back up there. They've got Connor Goldson, so they're going to be fine. But I tell you what, they absolutely love him as well in those first few games. They are all over him.
We're 4 minutes in. You've got Connor Goldson into the discussion.
Yeah, mate.
I had no idea why we got rid of him. That's a separate subject. But I prefer Goldson to Duffy, but that's just my personal opinion. Maybe controversial, but
no, I think you're kind of right. I think Goldson has probably I can't believe we're already talking about Connor Goldson, but I was just going to say, I think he's suffered from the fact that Dunk's just been so, like, his injury record is flawless. Like, he's played almost every game, and he's more of a Dunk mold kind of player than I think the Duffy's. But anyway, we'll move on from Brighton.
We'll talk a little bit about Brighton later.
We could be here for a while.
Yeah,
that's where I have a feeling we will be. All right, we'll move on to a different talking point. One La Liga game this season will be played in the US. Now this is a major thing because it's the first, I think this is actually the first time a league game in one of the major leagues in Europe has actually been played overseas. Now they haven't confirmed who it's going to be. They've said it's guaranteed to not be El Clasico, but you have to assume it's going to be at least one of Real Madrid, Atletico, or Barcelona, otherwise they're just not going to bother. I mean, you're not going to get the American fans in getting Espanyol v Deportivo La Coruña, are you?
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to care about Girona v Alaves in the States.
Like. Yeah, you know it'll be a considerable game. There'll be some star power. You know they'll probably want to get Real Madrid, I would reckon. I've probably got more fans out there than Barcelona. They'll probably want to get Real Madrid out there. My question is this the beginning of the end?
Well, you're very doom and gloom, aren't you, Shane?
I'd say if anyone who has listened to our podcast regularly knows, I absolutely despise all this first in football approach. I hate it. It's all about the fans, and Spanish fans cannot travel over to the US to go and see their team. It's ridiculous to even ask that. So who's this game really for? I suppose the question is money men, of course.
I mean, it's at least they haven't tried in any way to hide the fact that it's completely for the money, because they've openly talked about in like the release, they've been talking about how much money the Premier League is earning from international deals in terms of TV compared to La Liga. And like the bit that's strange to it about me is the bit that shocked me was the fact that it's a 15-year deal. Like it's not like it's even something that they're just trying out. So what happens if they realize after this season that actually people might not go, and or that people might not be as interested as the La Liga are hoping they are. But I mean I kind of agree. I don't want any Premier League games to be played in the States. So I don't think I'd like it in La Liga then by the same logic.
Okay. I mean, Nick, do you have any view on this?
I think it's going to happen. So I mean, they've been rumored about it for the Premier League for a long time, haven't they? Trying to get it over to the States. I think it's a good idea, to be honest. I think it's a good idea, and I think it'll probably generate. I think it's a good idea. I think it'll generate a lot of money for the States. And it will obviously again build the brand of football or soccer out there. And I think it's a good point to start off with. I think with La Liga, because. I think doing it with the English teams, I think there'd be too much of an uproar in the way they did the Premier League games. But then who's to say that? I don't know how Spain have taken to this, what it's been like over there, how they reacted to this.
I'd say from what I've read, the Spanish supporter groups have generally been against it on the basis of they won't be able to go and see their team play an actual proper league game. But I think in Spain, they know they're a little bit behind the Premier League in terms of global appeal. And they're kind of hoping something like this will obviously go and be able to be a platform for them.
Yeah,
definitely. I think that's definitely the plan, which I think can help. So I can only see positives out of it from a neutral perspective. But then again, I can understand fans' frustrations of obviously having to pay God knows how much for them to go out and watch their team play a simple league game.
I've got to say, I can understand the league's perspective in saying we want to get more fans, we want to catch up with the Premier League's global appeal and all of that. Like, I can understand that completely. They've got to understand what their fundamental problem is, though. They're not an English-speaking country. The American fans and all of that, like, they're not going to recognise these names, they're not going to understand them. That is one of the most basic problems they have, is in England, we speak English, they speak English over there, of course they're interested. So it's such a more natural thing for why the English game is more popular over there. I just think, yeah, and the thing I think as well is, in the Spanish League, obviously they've had for years and years not equal profits from TV revenues, all those kinds of things. And you know, this has been something that's been geared to by the bigger teams, not the smaller teams. Smaller teams will never gain from this. I'll put that out there now. I don't think they'll ever properly gain from this.
It's interesting. Do you think this is almost better for the States than it is for La Liga?
Oh, absolutely. Because yeah, for them, this is like getting Olympics and World Cups. It's getting the big things going over there. Then they've got the appeal to be able to go and get the Premier League and all of that. It's all about the prestige of having these games over there for them. They're all about that. So it's great for the States, but I think that's the point where we start to let commercial decisions influence things that should really be fan decisions more than anything else. That's where for me it gets a little bit worrying. But all right, well,
I mean, it's going to be really interesting when it comes to actually when they announce the teams, because you'd imagine they'd have to agree to it, and it's going to be really interesting to see what the players are going to say about it, because you've got to imagine a few of them are going to be like, well, we're basically both teams are now playing an away game, and it's going to be, and for the teams where it would have been their home game, that's kind of a like blatant disadvantage as well if you talk about just purely from football. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the players and the clubs react to it when it actually does happen. And I'll probably watch the game, because it'd be interesting to see, like, because there's no way any of, like you say, the States fans are going to have any idea about if it doesn't. Even if it's, like you said, it's not going to be two of the big teams. It's going to be Atletico versus Alaves or Real versus Betis or someone like that. And so it'd be really interesting to see, like, how the fans react to, like you say, teams that they might not know all that much about over there. Because I wouldn't know all that much about Alaves even if they came over here. So it'll be interesting.
Maybe their Football Manager fans a bit like me and just know everything about every team.
Last
piece of news before we move on to the main bits. There is a town, I think it was Chorley in England. I don't know if you people have seen this. They asked football fans to no longer visit their town. They said people were not welcome in the town because too many buses of people were coming from like Burnley games and the Bolton games, all those kinds of things, and intimidating locals when they were standing outside of the pubs. So they basically said football fans are not welcome. To that, like, I just think, Jesus Christ, I can understand if that's the South East and you're in a place like Horsham where I'm from, where it's middle class as hell and they barely understand what football is. But my God, this is just so posh it hurts.
I mean, do you know where it was? Did you say somewhere like Chorling?
Chorling, yeah. It's like Midlands. So it's like, oh my God, oh, what a bunch of words I probably shouldn't say on this if we want to get viewed by everyone.
That is a bit sensitive. I think you've got to let people. I mean, to be fair, how many football fans are really going to Chorling?
Apparently loads. Yeah, apparently
I would never have guessed that. So that seems quite bad to me, but. I guess that's their decision.
Premier League times. Obviously, we've had all the transfer window. The league has finally started. We're one game in for all teams. We're coming up to Saturday now. We're recording this on a Thursday for those who are wondering. We want to do a top six prediction. We want to know what people are going to be thinking about how different teams are going to be doing. Okay, so let's start off with Nick. I want to know who you think is going to win the league and who you think are going to be the challenges.
Right, I think winners of the league, I think very simply Man City. Still, I just think I take that back, sorry. We had this chat earlier on my lunch break. I'm going for Liverpool to win the league. I just feel their recruitment over the summer has been excellent. I think if you look at their defending improved massively at the end of last season as well, when they signed Van Dijk. And I think their defence, I think he's of Lovren's improved as well. And I just think with the amount of goals they're going to score, I just really think they're going to be the ones to challenge. That's nothing to do, by the way, with De Bruyne getting injured, because I think City will cope fine without him with both the Silvers, Mahrez, the Gundogan. I think they'll even improve on last season. So basically, Liverpool just kept basically their squad from last season, but added a couple of class to it. Plus, they've had Sturridge scoring. So, no, Liverpool might fix in the league.
Yeah, so I'm really glad you brought up Lovren, actually, because I was going to... Like, because Lovren has, like, come under so much stick for the last 6 months, for the first 6 months of last season. And then they signed Van Dijk, and already he looks like a massively better footballer. He did really well at Croatia. He's the self-proclaimed best defender in the world. So, you know, like, I kind of agree with you, but I have still gone for City to win the league. But I'm almost coming around, almost like you mentioned the De Bruyne injury. I almost think that might be enough to do it. I almost think that might be enough to tip Liverpool over the top. Because although I agree with you about both the Silvers and Gundogan, that stretches what is already quite a thin midfield even further. And now Liverpool, you think about the options they have in midfield, if you talk about that alone. Like, I think Keita is already looking like he's going to be signing the season, even though it was technically last year. Like, he looks like he's completing that team. And like you said, the defence has improved massively. But it's going to be really tight, I think, between City and Liverpool. But I'm still probably just going for City, I think.
So basically, are we all saying it's a City-Liverpool straight shootout? And just for the record as well, we've got Hero, obviously a regular contributor. He's saying Liverpool to win it with City second, and that's from a United fan. Chris is saying City to win it with Liverpool second, again from another United fan. What I find quite interesting, and I'll say who I think is going to win it in a bit, what I find quite interesting is no one is saying they reckon United's going to do this. Like, at least last year, people were saying, oh, they'll be in it, they'll be involved in the fight. No one's even thinking they'll be in the fight. They're saying, you know, oh, yeah, most people are saying, yeah, top four, probably, at least they'll get that. And some people are saying it'll be a little bit worse than that. No one's saying, oh, yeah, they'll challenge. And then there is a difference between coming like third and being off by about, you know, 9 or 10 points and actually challenging, being in that fight. So why does everyone think Man United can't possibly be in this?
I just really don't rate their defence. It's plain as simple as that. Like, I honestly believe if it wasn't for David De Gea, United would have finished outside the top four last season. Like, if you look at that, you know the expected goals measurements where it talks about, like, how quality of chances. Supposedly De Gea saved 14 last season, goals that should have gone in. And if you look at United's, like, shot numbers in terms of shots they concede, they were seventh in the league. And this is a Mourinho team, like a team that, like a manager that's normally known for being the most pragmatic and like dogged defences in the world, and they're conceding the seventh most shots in the league, like and they haven't really improved it. Like, maybe who's the fullback they signed? Was it he might improve. Was it Dalot? Was that his name, or is that the
Dalot?
Yeah,
Dalot. Yeah, the right back.
Yeah, I feel like he'll probably do a bit for them, but. The fact that they could still be lining up with Jones and Smalling for the majority of the season would worry me as a United fan.
I mean, it does say something for their transfer window that their third biggest signing was Lee Grant as a backup goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't rate their defence at all. I think that's my biggest concern. Like, I adore so many of their players as well. Like, I'd love Paul Pogba to be the best player in the league because he's just so exciting, No, I'm a massive Lukaku fan. I think Lukaku got so much crap in the middle of the year last year, and he was actually playing perfectly reasonably in that team. And all the stuff that's going on with Mourinho, and there might be a case that he's trying to take the pressure off his players by making it a bit more about him, but it just seems like he's saying all the kind of things that are preparing himself to leave by Christmas. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's talking about how he hasn't been backed in the transfer market, talking about how City spend hundreds of millions on fullbacks last season. He's basically getting ready so that if things aren't going very well by Christmas, he can say, well, I told you back in the summer, this is all the stuff that's gone wrong. And it's all stuff to do with the club. And it's, I don't know, it just all feels very negative.
I tell you what, Jose Mourinho complaining about not having enough money to go out and buy players and shouting at other teams spending a lot of money, it always strikes me a little bit as having, like, a deaf man shouting at another deaf man for his poor communication skills. it's just like, this is the biggest irony there could have possibly been. This is the guy who probably defined big spending in the Premier League.
Exactly.
And I find that baffling. When he's saying, I haven't been back in the transfer market, right, but you have been backed in the previous months, and you don't build a team in one season. You maybe do that on Football Manager, you don't do that in real life. I find that backing up, that is his excuse, because for me, what the board have done to Mourinho is they turned around and said, no, we have spent money on this squad. This squad is good enough. We just need a manager who's good enough to do it. You've got to prove that to us now. I don't think he'll do it, because I think the mentality is all backwards.
Yeah.
That club clearly is, it's a bit like Louis van Gaal in his last season, where you could tell, you know, sometimes you think, oh yeah, there's clearly still players playing for him. But at the same time, there's just this air, and you can tell the players when it comes down to it, when they know they're getting towards the end of the season and they're not going to win the title, so they're not going to turn it on, they're not going to be like, all right, let's really play for a manager. They're just going to let it happen. Let the end happen.
Yeah, I also think there's still just that sort of lingering feeling that they're just not really playing very good football. And when you're not winning titles, that's just so unbearable to watch, is like really... I watched a little bit of Leicester United and it was so dull for the majority of it. Like Pogba again, I think I think Pogba last season, even in his bad games, he plays well. Like I think he's the only player in that midfield who I really trust to create anything. Maybe Lingard on a good day, but he's not really a central midfielder. He's more of a attacking midfielder. But it's going to be interesting. I think they could completely implode this season, United. I've took them to finish outside the top four. But we'll have to see on that.
Yeah, I mean, myself personally, I put City to win and Liverpool second and United also to finish outside the top four. But Nick, what do you think about United? Obviously, we have a lot of United listeners on this podcast. So what do you think?
I was going to say, I thought Mourinho, I don't think one game changes anything. Admittedly, it was a good win. But you're playing Leicester, and it's not the Leicester from a couple of years ago. It is the Leicester City that's without Mahrez now as well. A Leicester that's probably going to end in the bottom half, give or take. It was a good win. They played pretty well, in all fairness. I thought, surprisingly, as Harry said, I really thought they were going to struggle at the back. I still think they will, but I was impressed with how they did look against Leicester. So I'm arguing myself here. I thought Eric Bailly was superb on Friday night.
Do you think you're going to get 40 games out of him, though?
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Jones and Smalling just aren't good enough for top four, in my opinion. There's a reason why England didn't touch them at the World Cup. I know Jones was in the squad, but there's a reason why he was probably, last choice centre-back?
I tell you what, United, with some of their players, it baffles me, because you had Phil Jones at the start of last season... was something else.
He was incredible.
I was thinking to himself, nailed on England's starting centre back. Jesse Lingard, the run he went on, again, you were looking and thinking, right, he's our main creative threat. How do those talents just get snuffed out so sharply?
I disagree about Lingard. I still think Lingard's still got a lot of quality about him, and I think he played a big part.
I'm not saying Lingard about England. What I'm saying is for Man United, he had this amazing run of form from probably about September through to January. And then Alexis Sanchez comes in, and he's a bit of part player again. That's the player you keep playing. He's the only one who's actually doing it in big games.
Well, I do think it's a bit boring that everyone keeps, you know, we're always comparing back to the Fergie days, but there's no way that Lingard in that form would have ever been dropped, ever. He would have played every single minute for the rest of that season the way he was playing. He was absolutely incredible for those middle 15 games of the season. He was scoring, and he's not always been a massive goal scorer. He's more of like the fine little bits of space, knit together midfield and attack kind of player. And so the fact that he was banging in goals from outside the box, left, right and centre, was incredible to me. And I find it amazing that he just got completely snubbed out of that team.
Ferguson would have done what he did with Antonio Valencia with Lingard. You are clearly not the most talented player in this squad, but you work hard every single time, and somehow, for some reason whatsoever, we will always find a place for you in our starting 11. That's what I feel like Ferguson would have done with a player like Lingard. Even if he's moving around different positions, he goes, right, no, you are winning us games. Every time you play, you're winning us games, you're doing the big moments, you're driving us forward. Why on earth would I drop you for someone who's earning £350,000 a week and clearly doesn't care? That stuff I find baffling. I genuinely think United are going to drop outside the top four. But here's a question for you, and I hate to sort of stick on United for a little bit, but here's one for you. My prediction is not only will this be Jose Mourinho's last season in the Premier League, it will be his last season as a football manager.
That is a bold prediction. The trouble is I don't know where he could go if he did leave now.
That's my point. Think about it this way. So let's say it just goes badly at United. He finishes, I don't know, maybe fourth, maybe fifth. Yeah, somewhere around that, but they're nowhere near the title race. Everyone knows they're not. Maybe they do half decently in a cup, but who knows? that sort of stuff will not keep him his job when he gets sacked at the end of the season. Very realistic. Gets Louis van Gaal. Who in the Premier League would ever take another chance on him? Liverpool never would. Chelsea wouldn't go back there. Definitely not. Not after last time. City never would touch him. Tottenham wouldn't bother. Why would they? That's the anti-football they hate there. Arsenal wouldn't go near him because the Arsenal fans absolutely hate him. You'd maybe be looking at like a Leicester or a Wolves, but I don't think Mourinho would go to a club like that. He clearly thinks of himself as being the big club manager. I don't think he's going to take that step back in his career. Then you go internationally. Maybe he can do something in Italy. Maybe. Maybe they'll have him again. Portugal, possible. You're looking at those big leagues. So, yes, Spain, Germany, England. Who's going to have him there?
I think the only two that spring to mind, I mean, one of them's a bit of an outside shout, because like PSG, he has said, like previously in the past, that he likes PSG. But the problem is they've just appointed Tuchel, and Tuchel could be there for 5 years and win everything. But I don't know. Maybe there's an outside chance if Allegri left Juventus next season. I think that might make sense if he went to Juve, because that team is already built with a ridiculous defence. And I think, but you may be right. I mean, in my head, I've always seen him as retiring as an international manager.
Yeah.
Like picking up some kind of job. Like.
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible. I think that's definitely possible. I'm just looking at it and thinking, I'll put it this way, especially this is my other side of thinking, is I don't think there's any clubs in England other than maybe some of the outsider ones who would take a chance in. Also, I think you'd look at it and you'd go, Fergie's gone, Wenger's gone, Conte's gone, who am I left to fight with? I've got to start this all up again, all from fresh. It's almost like he's the old guy in a new pond now. And it's like, how does he build up his enthusiasm to start that all over again? He tried to do that with United, and I don't think he ever succeeded with it. I think he tried to do it with Chelsea, and he had that success immediately with it. But I think you could so easily tell he had lost the love. He had lost that passion that he'd always had. That was why people loved Mourinho when he joined him, because, yeah, he was an absolute master of dicking off the press and the fans. He was great at that. But people loved it because they could tell he wasn't doing it maliciously. You could tell he was almost just having fun with them. He was toying with them. He was playing his own little game that no one else really knew he was doing.
He looks completely different than when he did when he was at first at Chelsea, where he was, you know, the special one, and he was suave and he was fun. Like you say, even if his football was always still winning as the priority, he was entertaining, and we used to love having him. Even, well, I mean, a lot of people didn't, but now he's like, it's almost like you can just expect what he's going to say. He's going to, you know, it's a little. He looks stressed and uncomfortable, and like he wants out, to be honest. But it's difficult because, like you say, we could be talking about them as by Christmas as being one of like us completely blowing the league away if they really did what they can do with that squad.
They've got the players for it. They've got the players to win their league. If you're a United fan, you're looking at it and you're thinking, we've got as good a young talent as City have. Likes of Rashford, likes of Martial. You've got as good a team, I would say. I'd say that team is as good. Yes, City maybe have a few more game winners, but that team on paper, that could... You put them in a game and that's 50-50 who's winning that one, really.
Yeah.
It's down to who has the better game. So that's got to be so frustrating for United fans at the moment. The only reason you're losing those games, the only reason you're not winning the league, is because things are so negative and not playing the right way. And that is only the manager. That can't be anyone else. That only goes on the manager.
Yeah. If Guardiola was at United, he'd have won the league already.
Yeah.
So, should we do the other three?
Yeah. Well, also, another thing about Mourinho and Guardiola as well, this is an interesting quote I saw. Well, two quotes from the pair of them over pre-season, which just makes me laugh. Like, Guardiola goes, this is my favourite part of being a manager, coaching youngsters. Seeing them listen, seeing them want to work hard, seeing them generally obviously try and listen to my ideas to make them better players. Mourinho, this is the worst part of being a manager, not having my squad, having everyone injured. whether they're the exact quotes, don't they're exact quotes, but they're certainly not far from from what was said, and I think it just says it about both managers really. I've said at the start of the season, I think Mourinho will be gone by Christmas, and I'm gonna stay loyal to that pick. I really do. I think one win against Leicester doesn't obviously change everything.
I think the most we'll move on from United after this, but I think the most damning Mourinho quite I heard last season was, and not to bring up Brighton again, was when we beat them, and it was one of those games where Rashford started, and I can't remember, I think somebody else started. Basically, they had a couple of players out, but it was Rashford was the one that people talked about, and he basically openly said, So, like, because everyone, when everyone was slamming Lukaku, he basically came out and after this game just said, "You see now why I played Lukaku every single game is because I don't have the players to rotate him." It was something along those lines. Like, it wasn't an exact quote like that, but he basically slammed the players that played against us. And like, you would never see Guardiola doing that. Like, if Gabi Jesus had a bad game, he'd say, "All right, no problem. Aguero's going to play next week and you're going to come off the bench and probably score." Like, it's just bizarre to see how he's approached the last few months with United. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I think this season, Mourinho, I think it will be Mourinho's last. I think it will very closely mirror Van Gaal's last, which will be a bit of a karma, considering Mourinho kind of openly went for that job whilst Van Gaal was still there. But yeah, we'll move on and we'll talk a little bit about London. Now, I hate London. That's the city, though. Sorry, London is. Everything smells there. Right, okay, but we are going to talk about Unai Emery and Maurizio Sarri. We're going to talk about the new managers of Arsenal, Chelsea, and how we think they're going to perform. Interestingly, nobody even mentioned them as being potential title winners. Nobody even thought about them putting in a challenge, which is kind of strange when you just look at the sheer amount of talent. In fact, if I look at it, Hero has said he thinks Arsenal are going to finish fourth and Chelsea fifth, and Chris has said he thinks Chelsea fourth and Arsenal fifth. So why are they so far away?
I think it's just too early.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all it is. Like, even when, because a few years ago we had that massive influx of Premier League managers, like when we had Conte come in, Klopp come in, Guardiola come in, Mourinho went to United. Like, everybody suddenly had new managers and new teams. And I feel like Arsenal and Chelsea are kind of, like, even though Conte came in then, I feel like Sarri is so different to anything they've ever had in the last decade that it's going to take, I think there's still a time for them to adjust. I actually have Chelsea to finish third, though, because I do think that squad is just so stupidly good.
I think Chelsea finish third, too.
Yeah, I think that midfield, Jorginho, Kante and Kovacic, that is, I think that's the best midfield in the league, even when we are talking about Fernandinho, De Bruyne and Silva. I think on pure balance alone, you've got Kante, who is probably the best performing central midfielder in the world right now, next to Modric, especially at the World Cup. Kovacic, who people have been rating at Madrid for such a long time, and I think to get him to play in that Sarri team is going to be amazing. And then Jorginho, who's already played under Sarri, and I can't say I watched that much of him last season, but people seem to love him, and he looked really good on the weekend against Huddersfield.
I'd also say Chelsea have the best defence in the league on paper, if not one of the best defences in the world. That defence on paper is ridiculous.
The only query I have is left back, because as much as Alonso has been incredible the last few seasons, I think there's a question mark about him dropping back to being a proper fullback rather than a wing back. And it's interesting. Like, I have absolutely no doubt about Azpi at right back or centre back. Azpi's probably for me been the best defender in the league over the last 7-8 years. He's just incredible. I love Azpilicueta, but I still think Chelsea are going to finish third. Although I think it might take a little bit of time for them to really get up and running.
I think Emery. I think he's the comments about him is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, given that. Given that he's been the bloke's man, well, I just find people have really slated him. He's had one game of charge against the best team in the country. they've run a few errors with the check goal. But they're going to make mistakes, to be fair, and they're changing stuff. They've just got to stick with it, I think. And people slating him after one game is just absolutely ridiculous.
The thing with Emery that I think is really interesting is, because we're talking about Emery and Sarri, I guess, because they're like the two newcomers and it's going to be interesting to see how they do. I almost think Emery's got the easier job, because I think that team is already built where the attack can pretty much just get let off the hook and do its own thing. Like Lacazette, Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, even like players like Ramsey. I feel like you all kind of know what to expect from them. They've been coached with Wenger. They know each other well enough, you think, from last season. And Arsenal's attack last season was fine. It was perfectly good. Especially in the second half, they were really good. But if Emery can come in and just tighten up that defence and the defensive midfield with Torreira and Guendouzi, and I think the jury's still a little bit out on Socrates. I'm not quite sure about him. But if he can get something good out of him, then I don't see any reason why Emery can't have a really good season but still finish sixth, if you know what I mean.
I'll tell you what, that Guendouzi, He looks like, at age of 19, he looks like something else.
He's such a powerhouse, isn't he? You see him absolutely bombing his way through the best team in the world at some points.
He reminded me of Dembele. Dembele with a sort of neater touch, a little bit tighter control. Obviously, he's not there yet, because he's a 19-year-old. He can't assume anything up till this point. Yeah. But you just look at his raw talent and you think, Jesus Christ, I would kill for him to get English citizenship. We need a centre mid like that.
He looked so fit as well. There's been a lot of sort of talk about Emery bringing trying to up the fitness of all his players, and it looks like Guendouzi's basically already there. Even very late on in the game, he was still bombing it around as much as he could. I think he could be a shout for young player of the season, I think. But then again, he's playing Torreira's position, and I love Torreira. He looked so good at the World Cup. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
Who do we think had the better transfer window?
Who had the best out of top six?
Out of Chelsea and Arsenal. So to summarise it up for everyone, for all the listeners as well, Chelsea signed Kepa, depends how you want to put it, £72 million from Athletic Bilbao. They signed Jorginho from Napoli for £51 million, and they signed Mateo Kovacic on loan as their major deals. Of course, the people who went out was Courtois, Bakayoko has gone out on loan, Kozuma has gone out on loan, Batshuayi, that was a big surprise, I thought he's gone out on loan again.
I don't know.
I think he should probably be arguing on to start for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Morata can't do it. And the other transfers, Lucas Torreira for Arsenal, £27 million. Bernd Leno for £22 million. Interestingly, he didn't start despite the fact he had almost the entire pre-season. I think that's a notable thing there. Socrates for £14 million, which could be a steal if he actually isn't terrible. Guendouzi for £7 million and Stefan Lichtsteiner on a free transfer. Who do we think had the better transfer window?
I think I'd probably pick Chelsea, just because I don't think Arsenal fixed a good amount of problems, but I still just think, I was looking at their starting defence for the City game, and it's, Bellerin, Mustafi, Socrates and Maitland-Niles. That's a volatile defence. That's the thing. It does all ride on Socrates. I think he's going to have a high pressure season, because basically he's got to walk in, and if he gets injured, because Shelby's on a stretcher for the rest of his career. There's still the jury's bit out on Rob Holding. There's a lot of pressure on him to be the leader in that defence, which they haven't had since Mertesacker really. Whereas Chelsea, like you say, they already had the best defence. Maybe the only thing Chelsea needed was a winger. I think that's the only thing that they probably would have needed in the window. But it does also depend, I guess, on if... Because this was another thing I was going to bring up, is do you think that any of the big clubs are at real risk of losing their players because of the early transfer window? So do you think Hazard might go to Madrid or anything?
I think there would definitely be offers for Hazard. I think at this point, I think if Chelsea were going to sell, they'd have already sold. I don't see why they would have sold Courtois and then not have sold Hazard as well.
I don't see why they would have gone ahead with that.
I think they've probably done the similar route with Pogba United, which is, we'll sell, we'll be happy to sell as long as you offer something utterly ridiculous, but you're going to have to wait a year. We need a year to sort this out first. They probably told Hazard that as well and just gone, look, do another season here, it's the Premier League, it's not like you're going to miss out on Belgian squads or not be in with a chance of winning player of a season for not just for Premier League, but potentially Ballon d'Ors.
Yeah.
So I think they'll say, stick around for a year, it's not going to hurt you, then you can go off and get the big move to a Galactico or something like that.
I'm so desperate for Hazard to stay, because him in that Sarri system is going to be absolutely disgusting. It's the first time he would have played attacking football at Chelsea, really, because that's one of the question marks I have about Sarri, is how quickly can he turn what's been a relatively defensive team for the last decade into the Napoli of last season. And if he can make Hazard the linchpin to that team, the thing that makes the forward line tick, and it could be so good to watch as well. I might enjoy watching Chelsea. And that's crazy.
Morata in his second season as well. Most people know these days. I mean, most people have very sharp reactions, especially to strikers. Everyone knows it takes at least a season for a striker to bed in, especially to a new league. If Morata can hit form this season, he's a 20-goal-a-season striker. It's not looked good so far, admittedly, but there's no reason why it couldn't work out. No reason why he couldn't just be having a Harry Kane start of the year. And with the question about, who I think has had the better transfer window, I think it is without a doubt Chelsea. Because they've only really signed two players. We'll ignore Kovacic a little bit. signed two players in Jorginho and Kepa, however you pronounce that. And those two players are pretty much guaranteed to start. They're guaranteed to start, and you know, with both of them, they probably want them to be there for the best stages of their career. They're not planning on losing them at any time. Whereas I look at that, the signing made by Arsenal, I look at Lucas Torreira and think, could start, could be moving to West Ham in 3 years. Ben Leno, could start, could be moving to West Ham in 3 years. Socrates, could start, probably moving to China in 2 years. Guendouzi could be a starter, could definitely be that. Could also disappear into total oblivion within a year or two.
That's
the difference, I think, of Arsenal. Chelsea have signed players who are going to be straight away in their first team, and all of their first team already are pretty much guaranteed to be in their first team. There's not a lot of, maybe it'll be him or maybe it'll be him. Sarri can figure out his best team quickly. Arsenal, Emery's big problem is he's not going to be able to figure out his best team quickly.
To be fair, I think with Leno and Torreira, I think they'll be starting. I think they'll start in the next league game. I think Torreira in particular, he looked perfect for them in terms of what they needed at the World Cup. And I have only seen him at the World Cup, and it's hard to judge players there really, but he did look like that kind of like strong defensive midfielder that they need. I mean, you're right about, as much as we've just talked about how good he could be, you're right about Guendouzi. He could very easily not develop beyond just being a good ball carrier. But I think Leno's nailed on to start. I was amazed that Cech started against City. Like, as much respect as Cech deserves for the last 20 years of his career, he's looked so off since he moved to Arsenal. And he looked again. Like, did you see the he nearly passed it into his own net against City?
It was ironic because he was actually having a great game, and then that.
Yeah, although even Edison had some nightmares in that game. It's a really odd one, that one. But
remaining European places then, guys. Third through to seventh, realistically, are going to be getting European spot. Who do you think is going to finish where?
Tottenham fourth, I've got. And then Arsenal sixth, United fifth. I haven't actually given that much thought to seventh because I think it's an... I think there are a few that I haven't quite got into the
rules. Just say Everton. That's what
it's the easy choice, isn't it? It's the easy choice. I haven't quite got onto the Wolves hype as much as I wish I... Like, as great as I think their team are, I don't think they'll make Europe. I think that's just ridiculous for a first season. I think you're right. It will probably be Everton.
I think first and foremost, Chelsea and Tottenham will make up the final Champions League spots. I think United will come fifth, Arsenal sixth. And, I think in seventh, I think it will probably be Everton, to be fair.
That's pretty much exactly what I've got, except we disagreed on the top two. So it's interesting that it's...
That's bizarre. We're pretty much all in agreement because that's more or less what I'm going for.
Yeah.
This is the most agreeing podcast I think we may have ever done.
But I also think with that bottom four, it was a little bit... I only took like a little bit of time to think about it. But actually, like Chelsea and Arsenal, we both agreed it could be really interesting what goes on with them with new managers. Tottenham is really up in the air because of like... signing literally no one, and teams that tend to do that don't tend to do very well. Like they tend to drop off massively. And United, we've already talked about, although we all agreed that Mourinho is going to be gone by Christmas, but they could all still, that could muddle around a bit. But I think we're probably, I'm fairly comfortable with Chelsea finishing in the top four. Tottenham is a maybe, and I think Arsenal sixth is pretty much nailed on, but it's going to be interesting. But I do think that will probably be it, the top six.
All right. Now for the really fun bit, and this is because it's more likely to involve our clubs, bottom three.
Who doesn't have Cardiff 20th?
I've got Cardiff 20th as a starting point, and I'll go pretend you have got as well. Hero has gone for Southampton in 18th. Thanks, Hero. 19th, Huddersfield. 20th, Cardiff. Chris has gone for 18th, Fulham. 19th Huddersfield and 20th Cardiff. Myself personally, I am finding it so difficult. Apart from Cardiff 20th, I think there is literally about 13 sides who could go down this year, and it wouldn't be a shock. Yeah. I've heard people say Burnley to go down. I watched that game against Southampton. They're not going down. There is no way in hell Burnley are going down. I will eat my own sock if Burnley go down this season because they are a touch above.
They're playing in Europe at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah,
they've just gone one up against Istanbul. Yeah. I mean, unless Europe really does stretch their team, I think you're probably right that Burnley will probably end up finishing like 10th, 9th again. Although, I mean, up that. I'm
surprised if they got seventh again. They just are so calm and composed on the ball. They play like a top four side. You know when you watch top four side and they're just pushing the ball about like it's easy, and you're watching your team try and do a break, and you think, why are we making this look so difficult? Why do we just struggle to even do the basic stuff? Burnley looked like one of those top four teams when they played. I know it's against Southampton, but it was actually just the composure they had in playing the ball. That is something you only get through just sheer confidence, and those teams don't go down. You need to have a lack of confidence to go down.
Myself, so who did you end up picking for 18th then?
See, I think Newcastle are going to have a bad season.
Yeah, I think
Newcastle for 18th. It's not because I think Newcastle have a bad team, and I've got plenty of friends who are Newcastle fans, and I actually really like Newcastle as a football club.
Yeah, same,
but
completely.
I think the problem is there's a lot of negativity around it. Rafa can only do so much, and those players are going to be acutely aware that their manager is disappointed. And when you have that, you know as a player there's a good chance a slightly better offer comes in, this manager could go. Why am I trying so hard to impress the manager when he could be gone in a year?
Well, if you look at that last season, in the middle, sort of like just after January, where again they didn't really make the signings they needed to, they went on a really bad run. A really bad run. And everything looked disastrous. Like, they dropped into the bottom three. And then basically Rafa, absolutely miraculously rescued that team. And if he can't do that again, or if even it gets to the point where he just says, I've had enough, I'm not getting relegated with a team that won't back me, then I think that will probably be the scenario in which they go down. But
you look at him and you think, he is a world-class manager. I know some people don't like him. He's genuinely a world-class manager. Even if they got relegated, he could walk into a Champions League job next season.
Oh, comfortably. Imagine if he replaced somebody like Puel at Leicester or whatever, if they didn't do very well. Even there, you would just know, nailed on seventh.
I could see Bayern saying, yeah, actually, steady pair of hands.
Yeah, that's
right. We're looking at, post-Hanks. Steady pair of hands. Who could we get better than Benitez, who would come to us in a heartbeat?
Yeah.
I think he's that good. And I think the shame is, I think the players there are going to know he's going to be looking for a way out. I think they'll then be starting to look for a way out, and it'll become very easy not to down tools, but just not try as hard as you need to. Just that little bit, that 10%, and that 10% gets you relegated.
Yeah.
That's my view of it. And so, yeah, there for me, 18th, 19th.
Are you backing Huddersfield then? Do you reckon? Because everyone else has said Cardiff 20th, Huddersfield 19th. Do you think they've got something about them?
I think Huddersfield are probably going to be okay. Only just. I think it will be very, very, very tight. For me, it is in 19th. It's going to be one of two teams. I'm very sad to say. I think it's either going to be A, Bournemouth. I don't think they have strengthened at all like they needed to. I think that team shipped goals last season. And the thing is, if you've got a team that plays on confidence, that plays on attack and play, you just need a couple of bad games, and all of a sudden you're going down. And the reason I know that is because the second team I'm saying for it is Southampton. Because we are the exact same kind of team. We are totally a confidence team. We've started this season, I think, in a very worrying way. I know it's a draw at home to Burnley, and that's not bad considering how much better Burnley were than us. But we just seem to have all the exact same problems as we had last season. Yeah. I know it's early days, but... And our signings actually look very good, but I just think we do not have the mentality to stay up this year. That worries me. So it's going to be one of them two, personally.
Yeah, I watched the highlights for that game, and it looked like it's McCarthy you've got in net, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looked like he basically rescued you that game. He made a handful of absolutely incredible saves.
I don't know where McCarthy came from, because I remember him about 3 years ago being like Crystal Palace's backup keeper.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, he is a talent.
He looked incredible at the back half of last season.
Yeah, no, and he was slightly like when we went on that good run, that was when we shifted him in the net. For those who are wondering, oh, we can't be that good, I'm just going to put this out there. I've never seen a keeper that dominant in the air. Mm. I mean, literally every single corner, every single free kick, he's getting his fist to it. Every single one. It's ridiculous. And he pulls off wonder saves too. His distribution is terrible, but we'll ignore that.
And if you're talking about dominant in the air, you're the guys who had the 6'8" Fraser Forster or whatever he is for a few years.
Yeah,
so
Fraser Forster is scared of the ball.
Yeah,
he does not ever collect anything in the air.
Yeah, it turns out with somebody that tall, just put it underneath him. Yeah.
It was quite shocking, actually, really, how bad he turned out to be. Nick, who's your going forward, going down?
Going down? I think, yeah, definitely Cardiff 20. If you can't...
Life, death, taxes and card is going down.
I did say last Saturday to some mates, I've got a feeling that Warnock will get sacked and I'll get someone like Big Sam in to go and keep them up.
Oh, that would be fun, man. I'd love that. That would be so good.
That would change everything. But no, I think all joking aside, Cardiff, well, I said before, this is before my, can I say the three before the Saturday games?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I said originally Cardiff, Watford. Yeah.
They were my 18th as well until this weekend.
But then they, I don't know whether it was them playing well on Saturday or us playing absolutely appalling.
Were you at the game?
Yes, I was.
And yeah, so was I.
It was not good viewing, and
it was pretty uncomfortable.
That's weird. You guys didn't know each other, and then you were probably 20 feet away from each other. If it all goes.
Yeah, I was on the left side, so I had to watch Dunk trying to rescue Duffy throughout most of that game.
That's what I was now. So I think I was pretty much in the middle.
Yeah, close enough to watch Pereira rip our defence a new one. He had a blinder, mate. He looked so good.
Well, I think the first goal, it wasn't a screamer. I thought it was a good hit, but I think it's our set pieces, which is just embarrassing that we can't defend set pieces.
Yeah, when we've got Duffy, who gets the most headed clearances in the league, the fact that we concede so many from set pieces is a bit concerning.
Yes, correct.
Are we really going for Brighton to go down, mate?
No, absolutely not.
No. However, you say that, but then where the goal's going to come from? You can't rely on a 35-year-old Glenn Murray to bear us out again this season. So I think if Andoni and Mercadia don't do anything this season, then you worry where the goals will come from up front.
I think Andone's the one I'm putting my faith in, because we nearly signed him last season for about 15 million, yeah, and now we've signed him for about 4, so it could end up being a bargain. But I think we will probably have a good season and finish 17th. I think it's. I'm serious. I'm serious.
Love the relegation zone's a success.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's try and kick on. But my three predictions, sorry, were originally Cardiff, Watford, and Huddersfield. They were my three to go down. Huddersfield, yeah, I mean, it's hard to judge against Chelsea. Chelsea are a good side. But no, again, it's early. You can't judge this at this stage. This
So we're talking a little bit about Brighton. I watched your guys' transfer window with huge envy, because I thought you actually had a great transfer window.
Yeah, I think we smashed it, mate.
I thought every area was... it makes it a bit funny, because I thought every area was sensible. There was nothing. I think all the recruitment was sensible. There was no. We signed young players, which was good. Young, hungry players. I think the recruitment couldn't have been better. In all honesty.
Yeah.
But then it's still funny. We're going into a season and we've got a striker up front who hasn't played in pre-season, pretty much, give or take, which makes it a bit funny. I mean, I can understand there was whispers of on Saturday, why didn't we start Tomer Hemed up front? But then, when I say whispers, I mean people sort of shouting it, but then again, it's in that token. I can understand that with Murray not having a pre-season, but then at the end of the day, Chris Hughton doesn't want this player in the Premier League.
I think Florian Andone can be the Tomer Hemed of the Premier League. What he was for the Championship, Tomer Hemed. I think Andone can be that for the Premier League.
He does look like an absolute baller. He does, like, you can only tell so much from a highlight reel and the odds, like package of his games, but
I never judge highlights on
YouTube. Yeah, exactly.
That made Elvis Manu look amazing. So
yeah, that's true. That's true.
when he came to us, he couldn't kick a football. So
yeah, or stay onside. I think the key thing for our window that I think has gone really well is because, like, the main thing that we got really lucky with last season is we didn't have any serious injuries. Everyone stayed fit for the whole of the season for the most part. Whereas if that happened again this season without the backups to compete, we would be in real trouble. So having players even though Solly had a bad game on Saturday, I still love him. The fact that he could now be our fourth choice winger, and that Noki is probably going to play behind Ali Reza, and Basuma can rotate with Gross or play in centre midfield. It looks like we've now got a set of options that we didn't have last season. So I think that's
Martin Montoya as a loan signing. That stunned me. Brighton getting a player like Marcin Montoya, that struck me as being really similar to when Stoke went with Mark Hughes after they got rid of Pulis. and they suddenly turned it around and went, actually, we're going to be signing some players with some pretty good reputation. I feel like that could be like a Bojan style signing for Brighton.
Well, and Shaqiri back then was massive. Remember when there was a point, I think it was two seasons ago, when Stoke had the most Champions League winners in their team. Even if a couple of those players are your Bojans and stuff like that, they're still really impressive. Yeah, Glenn Johnson, that's a good one. Who was the Afellay? He was all right.
Crouch would have done it in 2005, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But now they're in the Championship, so.
Yeah, I suppose that's not the best sign. As a Southampton fan, I personally think Brighton are going to be absolutely fine. I know it wasn't a good performance against Watford, but I think that team is solid. You've got players who will play for each other, and you've got one of the best managers in the league, as far as I'm concerned. Chris Hughton is a fantastic manager.
Yeah, calm as anything. He won't panic at any point this season. And the other thing is, I think the thing that sets us apart from everybody else, in terms of the teams that could be below us, is there is absolutely no doubt in any sensible fan's mind about the state of our club. Like, when you look at even like the teams like West Ham and especially Newcastle, they're the big one. There's so many question marks about the way their clubs are being run. But literally, in the last like 5 or 6 years in particular, the way our club has been run has been absolutely flawless from top to bottom. Like, the new academy, correct, new stadium. Like, since we, because we sacked off our recruitment team after the Hippier season. And the only bad signing since then that we've made was Elvis Manu. Everyone else has looked a class above Chuba Akpom, maybe. Yeah, that's probably the other one. I forgot about him. That's how bad a signing it was. But
Lekane is 50-50 at the moment as well. But
yeah, that's up in the air.
I don't think people. I don't think our fans help at the time. I didn't go to the pre-season game, but apparently we've got fans trying to. But Acadia, when he's like, if the Acadia scores are on the pitch, I mean, I know it's a bit of a joke, but you shouldn't really be seeing stuff at him, just in pre-season games. But if people even shout off at him in a pre-season game, I don't think we help ourselves at times. But.
Well, I remember, I mean, the thing is, he does look capable of playing a good game. Like, he played really well in the Cup against United, I thought, last year.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely. On St. Paddy's Day, I thought he was excellent. I think he didn't play almost behind the striker, didn't he?
Yeah.
Almost in the gross role.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think the problem is I don't see him starting ahead of Andone if Andone's fully fit. But I think there's quite a good chance that he could end up playing on the left on occasion. Like he did against Palace, and he set up his Chiedo for the second goal.
Yeah, the defending aspect was a bit all over.
Yeah.
Then again, you can't blame the bloke.
He hasn't had a proper chance yet, really.
I think you need give players at least a run of 3 games in a row, I think, before.
Okay, we'll cut it off before this becomes a total Brighton podcast.
Yes, yeah, we have.
Last thing I want us to go, and I want us to try and keep this one fairly short. I've got a little bit of a question for you. Who do you think has the best manager outside the top six, and who do you think has the best squad? So I'll start on that, just to give you a bit of an idea. Personally, I think Sean Dyche is the best manager outside the top six. I'd say he's arguably one of the best managers in the league. What he has done with Burnley is something else, because I'd say Burnley have probably technically one of the worst teams in the league, which shows just how ridiculously a good job he's doing there.
Yeah.
He is, for me, the idea that big clubs aren't looking at him, I would find utterly ridiculous, especially for when they're looking for Premier League talent, you know, people who know how to do in this league.
We'll go to best squads in a minute. But the question mark I've always had about Sean Dyche is whether he would command the same level of respect at another club as he does at Burnley, because he would need that to play his system. But if you can imagine, if you walked into, say, like the United squad who's used to been like even Van Gaal, and some of them have still played under Fergs and all that, would he really earn the same amount of respect as the rest of them would? Which is why my pick is we already talked about, is Benitez. I think Benitez could, like you said, could walk into any club and everyone knows straight up what he's about. Coach some of the best players in the world. Got that Liverpool team, everything. He's got all the respect, and you know he's going to do a job. So that's my pick anyway.
I can see. I think the difference is for me between Dyche and Benitez. Benitez could go to a big team. You know, then he'd do it for three or four years, maybe. Sean Dyche, if he went to a club like United, he'd do what Ferguson did. He'd be like, right, you think you're too big for this club? You think you're too big to play for me? Off you go then. I'll buy in players who will actually play this. And it turned him into title winners, it turned him into regular title winners. And it wouldn't be with, you know, the biggest players in the world. It would just be with the best of the rest. And they would end up being undisputed. I think that's genuinely what you do. I mean, it would sound ridiculous in this modern era, but sometimes a manager just through sheer bloody will can do that. I think he's one of the few who've got that will. But Nick, what do you think?
I think Benitez says, Joel, I think given the fact that I think that he's been stitched up for big time there, hasn't he?
Mm, lack of, absolutely.
It is more pots of piss in, if we're going to be honest. So I think, to be fair, I mean, they've got a world-class manager. I think he's still one of the best managers in the Premier League. I still think he'll keep them up. But if you're Benitez, wouldn't you really just want to think about walking? Because he could still get, he could easily get a job at a big club. I was amazed that, I really thought he was going to go at the end of last season. I thought West Ham or Everton would go for him.
Sorry, I was going to say, bringing up West Ham, that's a good point. Is Pellegrini in with a shout?
If he does it a bit, like the thing I'll give Benitez his credit, Benitez has done it with multiple clubs. We've only seen Pellegrini do it with a Man City team that should have been winning that league.
Yeah, and it wasn't that competitive around then.
No. All right.
I think their closest challenges were, because I think Arsenal, that season Arsenal dripped off and then Liverpool obviously slipped over, so.
Yeah.
All right. The other one I'll ask is, who do we reckon's got the best squad outside the top six? Now, I was really torn from this one. Half of me wanted to say West Ham, but I don't think they've actually got the best squad because I think too many of them will spend it injured.
Yeah.
My vote, and I know this is going to seem incredibly biased, is Southampton. And my vote is on the basis of, I don't think there's a single other team outside the top six that has as many players who could play for Champions League clubs.
Yeah, I think if you're basing it on which club and which, if you were a top six supporter, which club would you want the most players from? Like, Bertrand could walk back into that Chelsea team right now at left back, I think, if Alonso didn't perform. He's a great example. Yeah, he could play for Barcelona now. Seriously, yeah, like he's incredible. James Ward-Prowse, best set piece taker in the league, probably one of the top five at least.
I think he could do it at a team like Lazio, a team like Roma. He'd walk in. Lamina, I think he's another one. Vestergaard looks a real talent.
Yeah.
Elianusi was playing in the Champions League for Basel, obviously, but he was playing in Champions League. He scored against Man City. Stuart Armstrong, again, he was a Champions League player. We've got ridiculous talent, which shows just how far we are underperforming. Who do we reckon has got the best squad outside the top six?
I think Wolves still. I think Wolves potentially. I think Neves. I think Higuita, Yota. They could all probably get snapped up. But then I don't know. Then I also look at annoyingly. I don't really want to say it, but I think Palace potentially as well. The obvious player, Zaha. I think Sacco, this new fullback, Wan-Bissaka,
yeah.
Yeah, Wan-Bissaka,
Milivojevic.
Yeah.
Sacco's a great shout at the back. People forget how incredible he was when he went on loan. I think he kept them up that season.
He's improved since he left West Ham. So, whether top six standard, I don't know. But even just squad players, I mean, when you look at like some players, like when you've got like United against Jones and Smalling, is Tompkins really that much? Are they much better than Tompkins? I look at them. Zaha, I mean, admittedly, Paris haven't got much up front.
It seems all they need is Zaha.
It's interesting we haven't jumped to the obvious two yet of Leicester or Everton. Because they're probably the two that I think most people would immediately go to.
I think Everton, I was going to say it's surprising when that one's mentioned Everton. Personally, I don't think the Everton team is half as good as people think it is. And I also think that Leicester team works better as a team unit than it does as a team of individuals.
Yeah.
Especially you have got Maguire, Vardy. They only need two, really, aren't they? To be fair, to stand out.
Madison could be a baller.
You can't judge that after one game.
Yeah, they've got a lot of players that could, like, Ndidi, he could be really good.
Yeah.
Madison could be really good.
I don't rate Ndidi that much. I think he makes a lot of fouls. I think he's got a good range of passes. I don't think he's top six standard. I certainly wouldn't expect anyone for top six. I think, Maguire, Johnny Evans, I suppose they've got now. He could.
That's true.
Saw Arsenal and City after. And Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah.
He could easily do a job for a top six club. So, yeah, Leicester probably actually. Yeah, and I'll change that. Leicester, I think. Probably my one.
All right, Harry, what about you?
I'm trying to think how many players Everton have that would walk into top six teams now. I mean, walk into is quite a stretch, but I mean,
no one at the back apart from maybe Pickford.
Coleman, when if he's too in, if he wasn't injured over the last two seasons, he was so good a few years ago. Yeah, you're probably none of the centre backs. Leighton Baines is like old now. Idrissa Gueye maybe 2 years ago he was really good, had a bit of an off year last year, but Idrissa Gueye could. Theo Walcott? No, yeah. I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's even not half as good.
Yeah, okay, it's not.
Mona Luckman in a year's time.
No, true. Luckman's a great shot. I actually.
He's not in the squad.
Which is ridiculous. What? That's an insult.
Isn't he out on loan? Isn't Luckman out on loan? Am I being demented?
Well, he did my favourite loan move of last season, which was when he went to RB Leipzig.
And he was amazing.
Yeah, because he did the thing that everyone always talks about, young players in England not getting the chances. And he went, well, I'm going to go and play for one of the teams in Europe who play the most young players, and I'm going to bang in a goal every other game. And for some reason, he's come back to Everton, and now they're like, oh, do you know what? I really want to start Walcott instead of you. And it's just incredible. I find it incredible that he's not getting a look in. I remember seeing him play for Charlton when we were in the Championship with them. And he was just so comfortably looked like their best player. And I know it's Charlton, but he was 17 or 18 or something and running past our defence. Like, and I find it incredible that he hasn't been given a shout at Everton as much as it seems.
Yeah, no, he's not out on loan. I got that one wrong. He has been left out of a squad. I got that bit right. Silver, when he was asked about it, he said he's not injured. My decision. That was it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think that's a big surprise. But like I say, we'll call it there on the VT Football Podcast, because I think we are coming up to just over an hour now. Thank you very much for joining us, listeners, and thank you very much to Nick and Harry for joining me as well. Please check us out on Facebook at the VT Football Podcast and on Twitter at VT Football, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.
That's what. Cheers, guys. Bye.